Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. There is a proposal making the rounds to increase Michigan's gas tax.
Yet another proposal to increase Michigan's gas tax, and this comes from a new group. It's called the Michigan Consensus Policy Project. This is formed by, some folks you may know here in the political arena in Michigan, Kent Sikkema. He's a former state legislator from Kent County. He was Senate Majority Leader Paul Hillegatz, former House Speaker from Holland, the former Lieutenant Governor John Cherry under Jennifer Granholm, and Bob Emerson, a former senator, and Budget Director under Governor Granholm. What's interesting about this? Two of those folks are Republicans. Two of them were Democratic leaders in the legislature. And this organization has come together to really kind of offer some ideas, some solutions to some of the pressing problems in Michigan. And speaking to Kent Sikkema first last week and then the follow-up conversation earlier this week, yeah, he talked about this intense political polarization that we have in America today. And we need to overcome this because it's getting in the way. That doesn't mean we need to agree and get along on everything. Of course, they are partisan, and they are intensely partisan, and were intensely partisan when each of them served in the legislature. But there was a time when even highly partisan folks in the public office could come together and find consensus on issues to find a solution to a problem. And that's what Kent Sikkema talks about on these issues. And the first one they're tackling is the gas tax. Now, we've all been in Michigan. If you've been in Michigan a while, you know that we have the coming season. You know, we're a week into February. We know what's ahead here in the next month or so, pothole season. And aren't we all just giddy with anticipation for that? Because we go through those freeze-thaw cycles, and it rips up the roads. And those roads need fixing, and who's going to pay for it? The idea of this group, the Michigan Consensus Policy Project, has put out is a 47-cent increase in the state gas tax. This would raise about $2.7 billion a year when fully implemented. They're talking about, I believe, 8 cents to start, or 7 cents to start in the first year, and then 5 cents higher per year over the next 8 years, eventually putting $2.7 billion into the state coffers to work on the roads, the bridges, the dams, the highways, everything that needs fixing in the state infrastructure. And that's a figure that's been identified by a couple of previous studies. There was the state's 21st Century Infrastructure Commission that Governor Snyder had that came out with a report a few years ago, was not acted on. That's basically the figure they arrived at, $2.6, $2.7 billion. Right after that, the business leaders from Michigan, that's the group of CEOs in Michigan, did its own analysis, came up with the same figure. So that's what this group now, Michigan Consensus Policy Project, is putting forward to raise $2.7 billion with a 47-cent increase in the gas tax. Yes, that's a big increase, and they know it. It's going to be a hard sell, but to their perspective, they want to trigger a conversation. They want to get a conversation started instead of everybody kind of yelling at each other about across the aisles, or worse, ignoring the problem. They want to get this thing started in the legislature and with the governor and see if they can finally get this issue resolved.
Well, they won't be alone because there are groups in Ohio also encouraging increasing the gas tax there. But this could be a tough sell, as you mentioned, because if you look at the Snyder administration, there was a push also to increase infrastructure spending. And I believe that there were fee increases and other items to generate more revenue for infrastructure.
Yeah, it was a 7-cent increase in the gas tax and increase in vehicle registration fees to put about $1.2 billion per year together when fully implemented. And the talk, even the talk at that point in time, right after it was passed, was, yeah, nice to have, not enough. Doesn't get the full problem fixed. Doesn't address everything that's needed. And you know, Ken made a great point in our conversation the other day. With roads, it's like other things. You let it go, you let it go, you let it go. It only gets worse, and it costs you more money down the line. So at what point do you really want to enact something that's going to get the full problem solved? And that's the point of this new organization. Get a full solution to a problem. And it's not going to be an easy sell. Nobody ever wants to raise taxes. Nobody wants to be the one to say, I want you to pay more. But in the mind of these four individuals, again, it's a bipartisan group of former Republican leaders and former Democratic leaders in the Senate, in the State House. They're saying this is what we believe needs to be done.
Well, and there are plenty of elements involved in this debate as well. You have the price of a gallon of gas impacts this. The amount of driving that Michiganders do per year is a factor. And then alternative vehicles that are hitting the roadways that are either hybrids or electric or whatever the next technology may be will also impact that. And I know that this will be an ongoing conversation. Let's move on to the economy and 2019-2020. Grand Valley State University economist Dr. Paul Isley recently gave his forecast for the year. And, of course, he likes to take a peek into the year 2020. And, you know, the R word has been creeping into the conversation, a recession. And there has also been that asterisk that comes along with that. And that is, you know, people are you wishing or talking your way into a recession? Because we're due for one.
Yeah, don't make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. We're approaching 10 years of economic growth in this country and the state, and the economy's in pretty good shape. And what Paul has been saying for two or three years now is the probability, not outright predicting it's going to happen, the probability, the possibility, the likelihood is rising as we go into 2019, and he's predicting, based on his outlook, that in the second half of 2019, in the first half of 2020, you have a probability that's higher than it has been the last couple of years of a recession occurring. As far as the economy's prediction, he's looking at about 2% GDP for the U.S. this year. That's a little lower, but mostly in line with a lot of the economic outlooks right now. And interestingly enough, he says here in West Michigan, we're in pretty good shape. There's been a lot of work done and a lot of strategizing, and West Michigan's in pretty good shape economically right now. It could have a soft landing. When and if the U.S. economy does turn down, West Michigan would have a soft landing for a whole variety of reasons. And even if the U.S. economy does go into a recession sometime in the next year or two, he's predicting a short and shallow downturn, and that would come out of it pretty quickly.
I know that he touched on talent. This has been an ongoing conversation. There just is enough talent to fill all the jobs. He also spoke about that very issue and how West Michigan is positioned.
Yeah, and there's some interesting data in there. And Sydney Smith, my coworker here at MIBiz, wrote about this as well out of the Outlook. Grand Rapids has become a destination. West Michigan has become a destination. As have other communities around the Midwest. You have your high-cost, large urban areas around the country, and all of a sudden, towns like Detroit, Grand Rapids, these places in the Midwest are attractive to younger folks. Now, we have this phenomenon here in West Michigan where our kids grow up, they go to high school, they go to college, then they all want to leave, go to Chicago or wherever. And we're Midwesterners. We eventually go home. And that's what's been occurring somewhat here in Grand Rapids. But there's also the data that Paul Isley at Grand Valley identified in his outlook this year, that Grand Rapids is drawing more younger talent. Unlike other areas of the state, the city has more people between the ages of 25 and 30 than the generation of 65 and older. And it's going to be that younger talent that really drives economic growth into the future. So there's an advantage West Michigan has, and that it's growing that younger workforce that can take these jobs, that's presumably well-educated, and can help drive that economic growth in the future.
How much of that is due to having so many universities concentrated in the region, both private and public? Grand Valley State University, Michigan State University, Ferris, Hope, Calvin, Aquinas. If I'm missing a school, I apologize. But you have a number of these higher ed institutions positioned in the Grand Rapids area.
Yeah, and don't forget our friends down in Kalamazoo at Western Michigan University, as well as the community college, Grand Rapids CC and Muskegon Community College, too. Pretty good job, too. That could play into it. You know, somebody comes from outside the region. Grand Valley attracts more folks from outside this West Michigan area than ever before. They come, they get an education, they kind of like it here. They stick around, and Grand Valley State University publishes an annual report where it talks about that very issue, about how many of its graduates are remaining in the West Michigan area. I don't remember the figure right off the top of my head, but it's fairly high. But a lot of the Grand Valley graduates stay in this region. And today, economic development is all about the talent, attracting the talent that then attracts the business investment. It used to be years ago, it was get the business to come to your location, then we'll find the talent. Now it's create that place that talent wants to live, that's a good place to live, has a high quality of life, and the businesses that need that talent for their enterprise, they then follow that talent, and your community gets the business investment. So the presence of a lot of that higher education, that could be a factor, because if you enjoy where you went to school and you like that community, there's a tendency to stay there.
While I have you, before you go, there is one last story we want to touch on here, and it was part of the 2019 Health Check Report, which was published by Grand Valley State University. And there is this noticeable fall off in medical patents in Michigan.
Yeah, noticeable not only in Michigan, but nationwide, where it just fell off a cliff from 2014 to 2019. More than 70%, or actually 79% here in Kent County, more than 90% statewide and nationwide. So we just made a few phone calls and talked to folks who work in this field. What's going on? And a number of folks explained there are some changes in patent law back in that mid-decade on first to file instead of first to invent. So there was a rush up before that rule change in about 2013 that could have caused that spike early this decade. We had a lot of startup companies in this region with growth in venture capital. So you had more patents there. Today, startup companies are waiting a little longer before they file that patent. And that's a costly, lengthy process to go through. So they're waiting a little later in the process of their innovation to go into the patent office and go through that process. But that's just some of the reasons they talked about that could have accounted for the spike earlier this decade and now that really significant decline. Bottom line, the folks we talked to for this story in MI Business Week said there's a lot of innovation going on out there, if not more than ever before. We still have innovations, people trying to get an idea and get it to commercialize in the market. Don't worry about it, was their bottom line response to our inquiries.
MIBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you again.